You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Corey was out that day, so it was me, Benny, and Ollie in the studio. I took the day off of work, and we ended up, just the two of us kind of working through.
Wait, so was Ollie engineering you?
Yes, that actually happened.
Does no one remember I was left by myself with Pro Tools, which I've never used before, to engineer myself?
This doesn't surprise me.
Ben's got shit to do. Can't be engineering this
entire thing. He's like, all right, you seem like you've got this.
Hey, you flew across the country. You can do this too. Why not? I gotta go answer this email.
He had to go get shredded at the gym, so he's like, hey, press this button and then this button. And Ollie was like, I can do that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to 2020. I'm Siobhan Cronin here with my cohorts, and we have a surprise additional cohort introducing himself on the episode. But first, Corey Peza and Benny Goodman. Hey, guys. Hey. And our guest this week, back for part two, he did his introduction also for part one, Matthew LaPierre of Lost Symphony, 3 years gone, studio musician, guitarist extraordinaire, composer, sculptor that we learned in the first episode, artist. Matt, introduce yourself.
Hockey player.
Can't really do any better than that. I mean,
fucking hockey.
I've learned
man.
a lot of tricks from Benny. Of course, not a hat trick. Okay. But instead of telling me that I did a good introduction, he reminded me that I forgot hockey. So I'm sorry. Also, hockey player.
That's. Yeah. I mean, I try and do as much as I can, stay out of trouble.
we'll hear. I feel like that's total horseshit.
Anyway, for everyone listening, don't forget to go to 2020-D.com, like and subscribe. Go to the YouTube channel. If you're not watching the video cast, get the fuck on it.
And LostSymphony.com. And hopefully Adrenaline Media and our PR people have told Jackson Charvel that they should know that they should be hosting this about Matthew LaPierre. Because if you guys have not heard this guy play in his own band, nevertheless, LostSymphony.com. You need to go check it out because he is ferocious.
The ferocious Matt LaPierre, part two on 2020, right now. Hello and welcome to another episode of 2020. My name is Corey Peza. I'm here as always with my cohorts in crime, Siobhan Cronin.
Hey, how's it going, Corey?
Not too bad. Looks like you have another special guest there with you.
We have a special guest who is nonverbal, Pino the dog.
It's all right. We have enough verbal people on this.
The staring is fantastic.
And someone who is definitely verbal, Benny Goodman.
Hi.
Who is, yeah.
What the
What just
I
happened?
Was holding my breath the whole time. Pulling out that bong rip.
He was like praying that you would introduce him first.
Man, you're going to introduce the dog. I'm not even going to expel smoke.
Was that okay?
Anyways, turning blue, man.
That was a very, it's still, I think that gave our listeners and viewers a very good picture of what to expect from you.
Of what's about
the next
to happen.
Hour.
Right.
And back with us for a second hour, Lost Symphony guitarist, a good friend, Matt LaPierre. How's it going, man?
What's up, man?
And, he didn't leave us yet, so this is good news.
He's stuck around, has not reached through the screen to strangle Ben yet. We will see how this
I think
hour
the screen
goes.
Is the only thing stopping him at this point.
But if you have not
Bloodlust,
yet...
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, if you have not yet listened to our previous
incoming
episode...
Incoming news from Marty Friedman. I just wanted to let you know on air. Hey, Corey. Hope you're well. I should be shooting your video. Your video?
Damn
Are
right.
Are you reading email?
Marty, what the fuck? Now, this is his actual email right now, 8:43 p.m., whatever time it is in Japan. I will be shooting your video tomorrow or the next day. I have your notes here. What fucking notes, Corey? So I should be fine.
Me and Marty had,
but
you know.
If you have any requests before I lay
just
it down.
Out via email.
Hold on.
It's real casual.
What is
Marty
he a
Friedman?
Fucking rat now? Please let me know. Thanks! Exclamation point. Marty.
Tell Marty I'll get back to him when I have a minute, all right?
Yes. Would you like me to?
I'm surprised no, he even copied Marty me on that.
Because I'll be like, Corey is currently on the air, but he says, tell Marty I will get back to him in a minute.
Do not tell Marty anything.
Marty will sit there and be like, it's been more than a minute. I counted.
Anyways, thank you, everyone, for indulging us on that.
Yeah, like no again, context randomly reading an email on our show. So there we go.
So
we
Marty.
Just lost 10 people.
Actually, I think at this point, if you're listening to this show, then the video he's talking about should be released. So enjoy that. We'll post a link below.
So you know on this date, he yes. hasn't recorded it yet.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and if he does anything stupid, it's probably because Corey requested it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Anyways.
So we'll blame Corey.
Anyway, back to the Why topic not? At hand. Yes. Our wonderful guest, Matt LaPierre. Corey, go on.
Yes, joining us for a second hour. If you have not yet watched his first hour, kind of learned a little bit about you know, your backstory and how you got into music. Learned a few things that I didn't even know. We've known you for years. You're apparently a sculptor. That's a thing.
Who's your biggest influence as a sculptor?
Don't really have anyone specific. Just kind of was just freeform, whatever.
Freeform? Happened.
Do you have any of your old sculptures, like stuff that you've built or made,
not,
I guess? What's the proper
not
term?
Around.
Not around. Oh, no, you're not. I don't, I'm just wondering if you still have them since it's probably been a while. Or do you still do
really,
any
have
of a, this?
I have most of my like drawings and sketches and stuff along those lines. But I think some of my... Is DeviantArt still a thing?
I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe.
That might not have been any of your scene.
It was not, no.
Yeah. So that was.
Can you describe it? What is it?
So DeviantArt was just like, it was like almost MySpace for artsy types.
Oh, okay.
So basically, you put your sort of portfolio, or you put different pieces up, and all of it that's on there now is like super dated, but just a bunch of like pencil sketches and stuff along those lines.
Matt,
so it's like the original social media
for art.
I
hate to break it to you, but MySpace, they burned down and they lost all the files. They're gone.
Oh, I know. All my buddies' old bands, we can't even listen to those terrible,
gone.
Like...
All of my pictures from college, gone.
Were you
thank God.
You think that it was backed up forever to the cloud?
I never had a MySpace.
Me neither.
I skipped that. Joined Facebook
Do you think there's someone in Japan that's like, I one day shall bring back MySpace and I shall have all the recordings?
Hey, we just got canceled. Awesome.
God.
So I don't even know where we are yet. But anyways, there was a previous episode. Make sure you
well,
watch
that.
Learn about
two
Matt.
Of us. I don't know where I am either. That's fucking crazy, dude.
You're back to your normal self in this episode. You were kind of like demure the first one, and now you've smoked enough that you've recovered your personality.
Yeah, now he's back to actually being himself.
Right. For better or worse.
In this hour, I want to talk about, you know, kind of what you're up to now. You have another project called 3 Years Gone. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Me and my buddy Pat's been doing the singer-songwriter thing for a while. He's also the Big Scary Man guy. For anyone from Boston, you definitely know who he is. He's loud, and he's the Viking at all the Bruins games. So we met through some of my hockey buddies. We were just going to a Bruins game, and he's like, hey, you should check out some of Pat's music. And Pat's like, oh, it's not any good, whatever. He shows it to me. And actually, one of the songs we're re-recording right now with Corey, Stay a While. If you haven't checked that out, that's actually the name of the album that he released originally under his name, Patrick Kearns. And everything that I heard on it, I definitely thought it had potential. I thought, you know, he's got a great voice. So he was like, hey, we should work on music sometime. And I was like, oh, yeah, definitely. And this is when I was in the thick of all that, working, you know, 6 jobs and having no time to really breathe. So we ended up playing it was like a show at, what is that dive bar in Worcester?
You have to be more specific than that.
Lucky Dog.
I know, there's plenty of them.
The Lucky Dog, Tammany Hall.
Was it the one we went to before?
Tammany Hall, Lucky Dog. Yeah.
Lucky no, Ralph's Rock Diner.
Ralph's Diner, bro.
Yep, with the dried puke on the monitors. That was.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
That's great. That sounds like it's a good rock venue.
No, it's a great. They used to have metal. I think it was Metal Thursdays there. But yeah, so it was
metal every day there.
It was, except for we played up. So he hit me up. He's like, "Hey, my friend wants me to play her birthday party, and I need another guitar player." And everyone was telling me that you're pretty good. And I was like, I'm okay. So I showed up and we had one practice. It went really well. We both love Tenacious D and a bunch of those ridiculous songs. So we ended up doing a full set and it went really well. And then life happened and I was super busy. So we never really did anything after that. That was about 3 years ago, hence 3 years gone.
Oh, okay.
And then we ended up reconnecting. Yeah, clever. We ended up reconnecting. It was, probably about a year or two ago.
Was this after MySpace or did you connect through MySpace? Was he in your top 10?
We did everything through MySpace. We're still recording this album through MySpace.
Wait, so is Justin Timberlake on it?
Oh, yeah.
Because I would love it, dude.
We call him JT, but you, whatever. So anyway, we started, working on some songs and playing just acoustic shows. We were originally called for acoustic nights. We were Acoustic Penetration.
Nice.
So, and they booked us. I don't know.
Hold
why.
On. Can I ask you something though? Because it's something conceptual about the band. Because the name of the record is "Stay Around for a While," right?
No, that was his. That was Pat's album.
Stay a while. Yeah.
Stay a while. Right.
Stay a while. Yeah.
So as a listener. Like, let's say I don't even want to be here for this moment. Why would I want to stay for even a minute, nevertheless, a while?
I don't know what to tell you. If you like the music, you can stick around.
What does he say?
What?
Well, what Acoustic Penetration?
Acoustic Penetration. We did cover songs and at like local bars, and made people uncomfortable while they ate their food. So you
lubed them up with your acoustic penetration.
That's
or was there
we
no
did.
Lube?
No comment. Anyway.
What kind of songs? Wait, hold on. What kind of songs did you play with your acoustic penetration gig?
So we did everything from, we actually did The Darkness, a thing called Love, which was hilarious. A bunch of Tenacious D songs.
But in the style of Tenacious D?
No, I full on played a thing called Love on acoustic. Backstreet Boys, just about anything that people wanted. Modest Mouse, we played a little bit of everything, stuff that people like. And we just kept getting booked because we would always pack the place out. And
you have a new appreciation for the Killers.
Yeah, I actually just learned how to play that for a
That's
show.
That's a hard riff, right?
Last week.
That's not easy, bro. That one's a mind fuckery. You're like, all right. Like, I guess if this is going to be the song forever, dude, you did
something.
Yeah,
it's like playing Twister with your hands. To play that intro.
Yeah,
lick
it's dumb.
Oh, Mr. Brightside? Or?
Yeah,
Mr. Brightside.
Yeah, it's an infamously simple sounding yet difficult.
Right, sure.
But is it dumb though? Because I'm going to tell you, that as a person that's played hundreds of weddings as a DJ, hundreds, as a band even as well, nothing is like the, if you need to pull out all stops, if you need to know how dead in the water you really are, wherever you are, whenever you are, wherever you may be, whatever the scenario is, the Killers transcends all space and time.
Yeah.
And if people don't respond well to that, then there's something right. off color and you may not be able to control it.
That, Sugar We're Going Down by Fall Out Boy always gets people going.
Yeah.
And Ocean Stacey's Avenue by
mom.
Yellow Card.
Stacey's Mom, dude.
Stacey's Mom. Yeah, there's a ton of those that just, as soon as you start playing it, people lose their mind. So, it's always the drunk people in the front that are just like, oh, it's happening. And they're singing in your face and you can smell the booze.
Ew.
I got punched. Yeah. Actually, the first show we played at this place, Southside Tavern, I got punched
in
twice.
Head.
No, I was in Braintree, but I got punched Whatever. Twice by a drunk chick dancing.
What do you mean dancing?
He was basically just flailing around and I got
gotcha.
Back fist to the face twice.
Perfect.
Then she went and heaved in the parking lot, which was great. So classy.
Yeah.
Sounds playing
like
bar
like
games.
Braintree would do.
Yeah. It's a lovely town.
So at what point did you shift from, doing the covers and the bar gigs to think to coming up and wanting to do an album and actually release as a band?
So that was definitely more Pat than me. I mean, I'm, as most of you know, I'm not really a band guy. I like doing session work because there's less drama with everything and I get paid. So it's, that's kind of my wheelhouse. But I mean, me and Pat are such good friends that it was one of those things where I'm like, I can't say no. So when we were hanging out, he had a bunch of songs. He's always writing. and he's, as Corey knows, he's great with writing hooks.
Yeah.
Vocal hooks. It's one of those things where I'm like, all right, fine, I'll play on this song. Like, it's, you can't say no when I'm like, all right, now it's stuck in my head and it's not even recorded yet. So this is great. And so just hanging out, he would just show me, hey, I have this idea. And it's usually, you know, simple cowboy chords, your, you know, G, C, A minor, D, you know, and I'd have to come up with something over it or some sort of melody. And as they started to pile up, we would play them, we would kind of like sprinkle them into those acoustic sets. And I think it was last summer, right before all the, you know, when the COVID started like lifting a little bit, people were like, oh, you can go outside again. He's like, hey, man, we should record an album. I was like, okay, what are you thinking? And I originally was just going to be an acoustic EP and that was it. But the more he got into it, the more he was like, no, this, I want to go full blown, you know, full band, everything, all the stops. Let's go.
And did you have any songs already written or was that like the start of the process? Like,
yeah, we had a bunch stuff? Of them.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a bunch of them ready to go. Like I said, he would show me some stuff and I would write riffs to it or little lead lines and try and figure out the harmonies. And then that spiraled out of control. We'll get into that at some point. But yeah, so we went in and we were going to actually record with his buddy, Corey. He had a prior engagement. So I was like, well, I know a Corey. And
oh, funny.
Corey. Yeah, it's those Coreys, man. And, you know, I brought him down and he was nervous because this would be his first time really, like, he did an album before this, but it wasn't exactly like the same vibe, I would say. He was, you know, he's super nervous where he's got me and Corey, who I've spoken super highly of, and he knows about Lost Symphony. And was just like, I don't know if I can do all this stuff. Like, I'm an acoustic guy at the bar. Like, that's what I do. And I'm like, you're going to be fine. You got a good voice and you know what you're doing. So we went down and we started, Corey, do you remember what the first one was? Was it 100 proof? I think it was 100
yeah,
proof.
Yeah. Yep.
And he just, you know, went through, banged out the vocals and acoustics and was just like, oh, this wasn't that bad. I'm like, yeah, now we got to do this for 8 more songs. So. Right.
Yeah, what I can say about the band, I'm working with you guys and producing the songs. You know, that's one of the nice things. You know, you don't like doing the band thing, Matt. So you guys can kind of just come in. You know, you have your parts. You do what you need to do. And then what I really like about you guys, you work like one or two nights a week for like 2 hours. So the fact that I have no time whatsoever just absolutely plays into that hand perfectly. But it's great. You guys came in. You had, you know, amazing songs. They're super catchy. It's a side of you that I hadn't seen before. Cause you're essentially like, you guys do the, you know, you're the lead guitarist. Like, you guys are doing like the 80s thing almost, where you have like the vocalist and the star lead guitarist. And the stuff you play is much different than Lost Symphony, but very tasty. Yeah. You guys have kind of like a pop country, like icing over a very rock and roll vibe. And that's super fun to work on, you know, and that's, so we get to make those big productions and the stuff you guys are coming with, it's catchy as hell. And then, you know, like I said in the first episode, I kind of teased it, but you know, you and Pat singing together is a very big kind of unique aspect of this band. Cause it's not just a singer with like kind of harmonies. You guys have a much more, gelled performance together. It's got like kind of almost an Alice in Chains vibe at times where the backing vocals are sometimes just as important as the main vocals. How did that style come about?
I think that was your fault.
I know. I was like, Corey's selling this so well. I'm wondering if he was part of this creative process.
That totally sounds like something Corey would do. Like, hey, I know you think you're the lead singer, but like this other guy in your band, he should probably sing a lot too. And I'm going to tell him how to be better. And if that's a problem with you, then like we're probably not going to be making the best record. Because he empowers people.
Yeah, Pat is an amazing vocalist and he is very, very in touch with Matt's abilities. And he pushes Matt to do as much as he can, whether Matt likes it or not. And
so,
I'm
so
there
we
just
get to hear some like silly town shit, call. Matt. Like we get to hear some ham and eggs. Is it Eggs Benedict? Do I get to cut it over my toast and like it's, watch all the yolk come out?
Like I said, it's definitely a departure for me having to do all these harmonies. And I think it actually started because with 100 Proof, when we would do it live, I figured out the harmonies for the chorus, and Pat was like, that's great. And then you were just like, yeah, we're going to do that on every song. I was like, oh. And then when it was the three parters where I'm going to have to sing way outside of my range, which is great.
Higher.
They're struggling.
Higher.
That's something that you know, Ben and I have worked on multiple songs. And I think that we both are always trying to get whoever's working with us, whoever's singing, to sing just a little higher they can actually sing, because it just sounds so good.
Well, but no, I don't do it because it sounds so good. I watched the Mutt Lange, like Def Leppard special on VH1, and they were actually in the studio, and they were doing like whatever the first recording was, and he was like, no, I want you to sing it high. I was like, I can't sing that high. He's like, but you're going to do it anyway.
That's Corey. That's 100% Corey.
He's like, all right. And then Def Leppard sold millions of records.
No, but I think that's what fundamentally makes a great producer. It's just like pushing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it, is like, you know, recognizing what someone might be able to do and pushing them to that limit. That's where the magic is, right?
Also,
yeah, but where do we draw the line?
Hold on, another scene from that movie.
When he's pushing me to the point where I'm breaking. And
one of the best parts of that entire movie. We can't talk about the Def Leppard Mutt Lange movie if we don't talk about the pivotal sequence.
Were we even talking about that? I think you were talking about that. We were having a conversation.
Because they're sitting there and they're listening back to like what Mutt has now put together for them, and they start talking over it, and Mutt just goes, listening. And they're like, but wait, he's like, listening, row type. He's like, but wait a minute. Listening.
I gotta take a cue from that. That's like every session at your studio, Ben. I'm like, what? I'm trying to listen, and it's just, what? You know.
What?
It's exactly that.
Pretty much, yeah. But there's a certain line. I feel like Corey he's a little sadistic when it comes to, he's just like, you know what? I'm just going to see how far I can push it. We already got the take. Let's just keep going.
Oh, well, that is a Corey thing, too.
You never know if the next
highlight
take
reel
might be
of me sounding like I have Tourette's, just swearing like a sailor.
Corey, you need to dial it in all the way to Marty Friedman at some point, and just like when people send you stuff, just like instead of just being like casually mean like you are, just be like, there's literally nothing about this that's salvageable.
I am
and
never
then send
mean.
Back
very
a completely different song.
He's
be
not
like,
mean.
You wanted jazz, here's classical. Do
he
this
tricked
instead.
Me into doing this multiple times, and I'm just there suffering. And Pat is in tears, good. And he's cracking up, and I'm just in there like, I told him I was going to buy him a new, that door you can see by that acoustic, I was going to punch three holes through it, and he said no, and I said, okay.
You know, he's reformed himself.
I'll build you a new door. But
like you said, Matt, music is supposed to be fun, and I have a lot of fun listening to you try to hit a G3 up there.
It was a G4, wasn't it?
A G4.
I can't wait to hear all G4. This stuff. Man, this sounds really cool. This is great. I mean, to find that magic though with like a partner in music that you guys can like really work off each other when working with the producer, I mean, I feel like that's much more rare than people think, you know, to just like hit it off like that and everything just kind of, I mean, you know, you're pushed to some limits, but
I'll say that Matt, you and Pat have a great dynamic, and it definitely comes through in the music. And the music's, like I said, it's very unique in the fact that you're clearly trying to do something that's accessible to a lot of people. And that's catchy and fun, but you know, your influences bleed through it all over. You know, there's some crazy guitar stuff, even though it's not shreddy, there's some really interesting guitar parts. And you know,
are you like Zakk Wylde if he was still trying to be like Zakk Wylde in 1991?
With this project? No, I wouldn't say so.
So more like Book of Shadows,
Book
Zakk
of Shadows.
Wylde? That's awesome. Good. Stay in that book. Don't go to the next chapter.
If anything, I think I know Pat wants to do another album after this. We haven't even finished the first one, but probably go a little more, because again, he's generally the one writing these songs with, again, the four chord pop progression in his head, and I have to try and work with that and make it sound like not.
Isn't that liberating though? Because like I find that for me is awesome, because like one of the things I love about Paul, the drummer in Lost Symphony, is that he's super simple writer. He's like AC/DC school, but like, you know, with a Beatles twist here and there, but like 2 minute songs, 3 minute songs, the riff once, done, like I'm out, like doesn't need to play on more than a three piece, a four piece, cool, five if he needs to. But like when he makes, but one of the things that I feel like has made me a better producer in working with him are taking a three chord song and then making it unique. And I think a guy like you, you're one creating the harmonies and the leads and all the counterparts, because really every song, dude, like you, there are 10 million songs with those same chords. What's going to make it distinct is going to be his voice. And then also what you choose to do with those chords and how you choose to rock them. You know, that 80%, the motherfucker wielding it. And then also the notes that you choose or the notes that you don't choose to play. And I think that that is really, really, really important for people to know. And I look forward to hearing it, man. I've been seeing all this stuff on Corey's Instagram and your Instagram. I'm like, okay, they're cheating on me. I'm like, what is he playing? It sounds awesome. Because I marvel at your ability in the studio, because you literally are like, you're like, oh, I need to do that. Okay, that tapping thing, I'm going to do the harmony. And you just nail these whole parts. And I'm just like, that was disgusting. I'm like, and Corey's like, I guess I'll fix it later. He's like, there's really not a whole lot of fixing I need to do. I guess I just need to like take the takes and...
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, we try and get it in as few takes as possible. Sometimes there's a lot of Frankensteining, but
You've allowed us on, and we could talk about this. You've allowed us to, and Corey, you can speak to this too, because we've worked on solos where at different times Corey was engineering you and I was engineering you, and we were like throwing out ideas at you, and you were like, I felt at the time, at least with me, and I don't know, Corey can tell you, but like you were like resistant, and I'm like, no dude, if you do this harmony it's gonna be fucking ridiculous. You're like, really? And I'm like, yeah dude. And I remember coming back and hearing what Corey had done, and I was like, dude, that's fucking insane. And you were just like, at the time you're like, I don't know if I like that solo. And I'm like, you're out of your mind. Like, you literally, like, you made the idea that, like, Frank Zappa says, again, when I quote this all the time, and I love it, is that the best you could hope for is having people play what sounds exactly like what you hear in your head, and that almost never happens. And with you, when I've been able to yell, like, Charlie Brown's like, wah, 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 teacher at you, you're like, oh, play the aeolian. Okay.
Yeah.
And you do it.
I will say that that's one of the treats of working with you, Matt, in studio, is that, like, you know, whereas Ben and I could sit there and like program like the ultimate lead, instead we can just have you do it, because it's all the things, it's the things that we wish, it's all the things we wish we could actually play on guitar, but we can't. So like, we're like, so what if you just did that like C minor arpeggio into that tapping part, like, but like double time, and you're like, oh, like this.
Yeah, and you just, and you're like, oh, I sweeped into it, but then I did the economy picking thing here, and like, and then you're like moving your pick between your fingers. Hold on, I got it. Like, this is literally Matt when he plays. He's like, and then he's like switches it. He's like, oh, it's in my other hand behind your ear. And then as he's like, oh, I'm still tapping. I'm still going.
And then you guys tell me to do a solo, and I'm like that meme of the lady with the math equations in the back.
Yeah, you don't even have frets, girl. No frets.
We're going. We don't need. Well, improvisation has been, thankfully, one of my.
Bumblefoot's like, yeah, dude, I don't need frets either. Fuck you, figure.
Since we've had the chance, both Ben and I, to work with both of you, it's completely different, but amazing in both ways. Because with you, Siobhan, it can be like, you know what, this line needs like a solid like fifth to run through it, and that's all you have to say, and bam, you can lay down that line and do it exactly how it needs to be done.
That's underselling it. You are like the TC Helicon pedal harmonizer that you can put on that has like the intelligent harmony, and instead of like knowing, like, you know what mode.
No offense to TC, and, like, but that's like insulting to what I know, she does.
I'm saying, but you know, if you want to do the minor or the major seventh or the natural seventh, like, you always know that, and we don't have to tell you. Like, you're just like, well, yeah, that's exactly like you. We were building anticipation. Like, well, if you're going to do that cadence, like, you have a reason in your head already. So I don't even need to tell you anything. I'm just like, yeah, do a layer, do the next layer. And they're like, well, logically, the only thing you could do with that.
Meanwhile, my brain is exploding.
I mean, technically, if I was going to make an inversion of that, we could do that. But then the lead would be, all right, I guess we could do, and you'd do three more of those. Yeah. It's awesome.
So while your brain's exploding, I'm threatening to rip doors off hinges. So, I mean,
I just don't have the strength for that. So I think I just accept defeat. And I'm like, all right, this is what it's going
to
be.
All of that combined, you know, both sides of the coin are what lead to what we ended up with Lost Symphony, which, you know, it's why, if it was completely one or the other. I don't think it would be as special as it is. I think it's a good combination of that kind of like spark of the moment.
Can I tell
like
you how awesome it is? I'm going to give you the best endorsement of this record ever.
Can you let me
ever.
Finish anything? I'm
yeah, sorry. No, sorry. Corey almost had a perfect sound bite. Almost a perfect sound bite.
Could have been dope.
You know what? Who cares? Just Lost Symphony.
LostSymphony.com.
It's only Ben's project.
All right, Ben, go on. The stage is yours.
Well, I was going to say that we got the best compliment this entire journey on this record. We had Steve Wood, who hopefully by the time this comes out will already have aired, who's such a great guy, and I love him, and he's going to come back, and he's just a wealth of information. But he listened to Lost Symphony, and he asked me last night, which I don't know, it's long ago for the people listening now, but he said, do you actually play on this? And it was the greatest compliment ever. I'm like, I wrote the songs and recorded it and engineered it and yelled at the mixing guy all the time. And he's like, really? What do you play? The guitar. Like, he was surprised. Like, he played the guitar on the Lost Symphony.
And I was like, I played the Rolodex.
Pretty much. But the point was, is that he was completely enamored by the fact that I could even possibly have been on something that good in his mind. And I was like, wow, that's a compliment. Because literally, I always feel like I should be by far the worst. And for someone to think that I'm not even good enough to be in my own band makes me feel like really good about the band. Especially when they're as esteemed and as experienced as someone like Steve Wood, who was there at the inception of Tom Petty's career and Led Zeppelin, and was watching Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton, and was with Jimmy Page when he, you know, bought Joe Walsh's 1959 Les Paul. He was fucking there.
I will just
there.
Let people listen to that episode. Don't give away all the details. No,
that's not on an episode yet.
Oh, okay.
It's a bonus. Right. Bonus fact.
Bonus.
It's a bonus. Right, wait, Easter egg.
Let's get back to Matt. Yes. So. I mean, as much as I love talking about Lost Symphony, of course. Matt, I'm curious to hear about you getting into session work and working in studios, and like, how did that whole thing start for you?
It actually started with, it was, if I remember right, it was a Craigslist.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah. With this guy that had a studio, I think it was in Weymouth. I don't, this was probably 10 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Matt, 10 years ago, you were 12. Stop talking.
Questionable age.
It was probably like 18, 19.
Corey's like, I have balsamic vinegar. That's older than you.
Anyway.
Okay.
But yeah, I ended up showing up, and he's like, I need someone to play leads over this track. And it was like I'm going to use the term butt rock, but like, mm-hmm. It was like a butt rock project.
Yeah.
And he was just like, hey, and this is when I was, you know, just figuring out like all the sweeping and stuff. And I was like, oh, I could do this little run. And he thought it was great. And then he started telling his buddies. And, you know, I started looking into him like, oh, I can, because he paid me for the time. And I was like, huh, this isn't bad. I can do this. And it just kind of spiraled from there. Just, you know, word of mouth, people who knew me, I've been told I'm easy to work with. So. You know, whenever someone needed something done and relatively quick, or, you know, was looking for ideas to bounce off.
I want
to
kill someone.
That's a separate thing.
But I'm saying you're very valuable. You're like the wolf. You could either help someone track a solo or bury someone in the desert.
Multifaceted, we'll call it. But many sides. Many, many sides. But yeah, so I started doing that, and it was mostly like, you know, you'd get your standard rock bands, like local rock bands or blues bands, or nothing too crazy. And then the more people I got to know, the more projects I got to play on, and, you know, via word of mouth, like I said, you know, I would get contacted by, you know, friends of friends. And then, you know, after being in that, you know, the gospel band and then the jazz project and having all these different connections, got to actually, you know, dip my toes into doing some jazz tracks or some country tracks, or, you know, and trying to cut my teeth and like learn all these different styles, and, you know, getting to where I am now, where, you know, someone's like, hey, I need, you know, play this, you know, I need a bebop lick over this. Okay, yeah, I got you. Or, you know, hey, play this like really twangy country kind of lead, and, you know, there's plenty of that kind of stuff on 3 Years Gone. And I mean, there's still a lot of rock.
Doesn't sound like you're asking for anything that Kirk Hammett can't do.
Just throw a wah pedal on it and it's great.
He's got a B-bender. The Unforgiven 2, have you not heard that? Or is that James?
James plays the
B-bender. I think maybe that's James. That's above Kirk's pay grade. I should know better.
But yeah, anyway, that's how I got into doing session work. And then when the internet became more prevalent as to like a way to communicate with people, obviously like there was MySpace and all that stuff back when I was first starting, but now where you can have things like this with Zoom, where, you know, you got a client that's like, hey, I have this random, you know, pop song. Can you play some jazz chords over it? Or can you play, always call them jazz chords. Always sevenths nine.
I was going to ask importantly, because I talk about jazz chords a lot and then they make fun of me. When someone says play jazz chords, do you mean sevenths and ninths? Because I say that a lot of the time, and then occasionally a 13th.
Those are pop jazz chords.
Yeah.
Yep.
Until you get into the sharp five, sharp nine.
Yeah. Listen, Brubeck. I'll give you Brubeck
take five
to your fucking Brock. Where you came from.
Anyway. Suck it.
Yeah. But yeah, with the session work, it's nice being able to wear different hats and, you know, play in different styles and fool people into thinking that I'm competent in all these styles, when in reality I have my go-to.
No, but I think when you're in a situation where you have to record a lot, it does make you a much cleaner player. Like the more that I've had to do studio work or just like remote recordings and stuff, I feel like it's really made my playing a lot more precise, because
Siobhan,
you just get what?
Having a 4K lens on you and 96 kilohertz of sound quality at the full spectrum of hearing encourages you with pressure to do better than you would do when you wouldn't normally think that Alexa's listening or anyone else is watching or your computer
screen.
No, it's
not the idea that anyone's listening. It's that when you have the chance to hear back what you sound like versus what you thought you sounded like when
that's
you were playing.
Cut on tape.
If you're in the studio, you're naked.
But what if you hate yourself from the beginning and you already know it's terrible? But you're like, you don't even need to do it. You're like, I don't even have to record this to know how I'm going to feel about it afterwards. That's the thing.
Well, if I don't feel like I did a good enough job, I'll do it again, even if it's over the time slot that I'm
Jimmy Bell, every time we worked on Lost Symphony, would call me after we recorded, and he gave us more tracks and takes than we could possibly Frankenstein together. We're like, Corey would call me like, do you want to use take 67 or take 54? I'm like, I don't know. Which one's which? He's like, dude, they're both fucking stupid. Like, he'd be like, Benny, are you sure we got it? I'm like, Jimmy, we had it like literally six times into it. Like, we had it like probably two times into it.
But when you're at that level, there are like infinite possibilities of what could be the best take. You know, it's like everything is so great. Like,
yeah, Jimmy's.
That's the problem.
Anything he puts out is up. I'll listen to it. I'm not going to say no. The fastest picking I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think
most ferocious.
Ben and I have both said that it's you and Jimmy that are our ideal, like, we want to hear this solo. Let's have Matt or Jimmy play it. And it will sound exactly like how our heads play it, that we could never actually do with our fingers.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to talk about the neurotic guitars here for a moment, because we got funding for this show now. So I would like to get some of the people in the room that are on Lost Symphony, because I want to understand what it's like to get the pandas in the cage together.
The neurotic guitars got funding? Do we get anything?
And by funding, I mean, I got my David Ellison coffee for free.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, which, if you haven't got the Ellison roast in peace, like, that shit is so fucking delicious. David Ellison. But I want to get you guys in the same room. I want to get Jimmy Bell. I want to get Kelly. I want to get Matt.
That would be phenomenal.
Because I would love to have you guys, because the thing is like, it's funny to watch you guys online, because you all marvel at each other's techniques, because, like, Jimmy will be like, oh, I can't do anything that Matt does. And then you're like, why would you need to do anything that I do? He does it the hard way, and he does it even faster than me. And then Kelly's just like, wow, look at these guys. This is really great. But still plays still faster students. And more meticulously like accurate than like a fucking robotic machine and with feel still. But it's like he is like the perfect, like if you were to, it's obnoxious. You guys are all obnoxious. And I want to understand as the neurotic guitarist, what makes you guys so good? Because I honestly, when we started this, and Corey can speak to this, we didn't, like people would say like, what makes the greatest guitarist? And there's so many different things to me now that I respect in guitar players, but one of the things that you possess and Kelly possesses and Jimmy possesses and Joey Concepcion possesses, and certainly Siobhan, is you guys are all able just to fucking pull out musical brilliance out of your fucking assholes. Just like, just all, at all times.
That should be the byline on the Lost Symphony record.
You guys literally fucking, no, you, and even Paul. Like Paul, like he, like Shannon Larkin was marveling at his ability to play. He's like, if I practiced this so long, like Paul didn't practice it at all.
Yeah,
not at all. Not even that day did he practice it. Maybe three takes he practiced it before that. And you guys are all able. Like Siobhan is like one take wonders. Like she's just like, oh, this one, that one, that one, that one. What time do we have to go out to for food?
Yeah, if, one, if there's one thing that Lost Symphony and knowing all of you guys has like really brought to light, it's that. You get really jaded about shredders and like people that just are 100% like technique and like it doesn't impress you anymore when you hear players that actually have that musical musicality that to bring out the notes in a way that actually matters instead of just as many as they can fit into a second, which Jimmy Bell can fit a lot of notes into 1 second, but they're
so
all
tasty.
Really, yes. Well, really, you know, well placed.
The greatest testament to Jimmy Bell's ability is we play with so many people on this record, but every time I play our songs in whatever form, mix or master to Paul, our drummer, it's like the first time for him. And he always looks at me, he's like, who's this? Who's this? But every time Jimmy Bell is like, who's that? And I'm just like, dude, it's fucking Jimmy Bell. Oh yeah, I should know that. And then like we'll be like 9 more minutes because we listened to a test printing of chapter 3 the other day. Who's that? It's Jimmy Bell, dude. Oh, who's that? It's Jimmy Bell! Every time. Like, and I've played him the same songs for 17 years, like 6 years. I don't know.
Jimmy,
a long time.
Jimmy's the only wah pedal on all these records, right?
Wah pedal, true. But he has a ferociousness also.
No, it's not a crutch for him, but I'm just saying, I think that like
no,
that's,
he's not a Kirk Hammett.
Yeah. I can only imagine Matt with a wah
eggs
pedal.
Benedict and ham. Not with the et. Yeah.
Remember the first time seeing videos of him and I was like, well, I should probably go practice some more.
I think I showed them to you.
I don't think my metronome goes that
fast. We were in the studio. And I remember specifically saying, okay, man, I think I found somebody that has scared me officially more than any other human being in my entire life. And he plays like these Brian Setzer-esque, strange, cowboy fucking country shred, like riffs.
Yeah.
Like, to a metronome, like in his fucking bedroom, quietly.
At like 4 a.m.
And they're like bursts of notes, 5 notes, 4 notes, like Rusty Cooley, like eat your fucking heart out shit. And he's just like going up and down, and like his fingers are like a blur, a fucking blur. And he's like, sorry for my sloppiness or something. Like,
yeah.
And you think he's not being facetious. He really doubts the fact that he's like, he's Highlander. There can only be one.
Yeah, when he was trying to pick my brain about sweet picking, I'm like, why? You don't need to.
Dude, he should just pick it the way he does it.
Yeah, no, yeah, he picks every note faster than I could ever legato any line I ever thought of. So, and it just goes to show, like, once again, it's that style plus styles like Matt's and Kelly's that make Lost Symphony this unique thing.
But Ulrich Wilde brought up a good point, though, that you're picking, your tone is in your picking hand, and Jimmy, like, and he's a lefty, so, like, there's something about, like, being the devil's son, and, you know, and not being forced to play the other way, and that guy has gone through, by the way, more as a neurotic guitarist, he posts more amazing vintage lefty guitars that are worth so much money. You fucking dumbass, Jimmy Bell. What the fuck are you doing getting rid of gold top 60s fucking lefties? No, he's amazing. He's like he's the nicest person in the world.
We're gonna see Matt leave the frame and then pop into Ben's studio.
By the way, Mandy, his wife, is the greatest, like, like she's a nurse, like just like saving lives and like going and inoculating people and vaccinating, whatever the word is. I don't know. She's amazing. She's like doing these like all day, 24 hour fucking things. But Jimmy Bell is a fucking saint. But with that finger, with that that picking hand, whatever hand, the other
we're
hand,
the left
hand. We're
at the point of the episode where the you're on a hand, rant and you're screaming.
The fucking left hand. Dude, you know from the first note. Because he does these arpeggios. From the first note, he comes in, even when he's playing that stuff, you could hear the pick. Yeah.
Jimmy's amazing, and you have a film strip running through your head, and we're getting like one out of every 12 frames.
Yeah, and exactly. So let's bring it back down. Yeah,
but anyways,
exactly.
Siobhan's disturbed.
If anyone remembers
I'm not
Memento.
Disturbed. I'm just Matt, I do. That's a good movie.
Yeah, why don't we get back to Matt? Like, why don't you talk just about the Lost Symphony process? Guests. You know, that's kind of, you know, that's, I think, the pinnacle of like your ability to let loose, I think, at least recently, right? As far as your projects
go.
What's the
funny thing is I look back at some of these, because we recorded some of these so long ago, I was like, wow, I sucked. I was like, oh no.
It has been like, a process though. I think about that too, like the amount of stuff that has changed in between like the first and the last, you know, experience.
Well, the biggest bummer is when we started, we didn't think it was going to be anything that big. And now like, you know, a few years later, it's like, oh, we probably should have like actually tried to like get those mics into position. And, I kind of wish I tuned my bass. No,
yeah, it was a lot of like, especially with some of the funny thing is obviously their tracks have been pulled from different years. So they're, you know, a little shuffled, but like hearing stuff from when I first started recording with you guys and being like, just cringing listening to this, I'm like, oh no.
Well, the thing that's crazy is that this is the only project that has so much, like, so many good players doing so much cool stuff that like we genuinely forget amazing solos.
Yeah,
because we get some stuff just like sent to us and like we hear it really quickly. Yeah, and like a guy like Kelly, he'll be like, dude, I sent you that solo, and we'll hear it like 3 o'clock in the morning, be like, that's amazing, go back to sleep and never get the fucking Wii transfer file. and then be like, well, maybe we need to do something there. And then it's like, holy shit, that was fucking amazing. Because this record was done so many different times. And I got to say hats off, because the most amazing thing that Corey did, other than just, I guess, probably just get rid of all the drums, was make everything sound consistent from song to song. Because this literally...
There's no like, drums in Lost like, Symphony.
But like jazz. Like, okay, so if recording was like jazz. Okay,
Ben, we're going to lose everyone. What are you talking about?
Lost Symphony is like to mix, because it's like musical surprise.
Wow.
just claim it. There's Corey drums on the record. Drums. I promise musical there's drums. Jazz. I did not delete
there
the drums.
Are drums. Can confirm.
But yes, Lost Symphony was recorded over several years, and the three records are a combination pulled from all different times in that era to make sure it was a cohesive, flowing
kind of like how Kill Bill was filmed.
Kind of like
I was gonna
that.
Say, I think I was like 22, 23 when I recorded the first couple solos with you guys. So it's been a bit.
Two years ago.
That's amazing. Yeah. No, I feel the
you
same.
Two
too.
Years ago, you're making me out to be like, I'm 12. Come on, man.
No, but I think, I feel like my musicianship has developed over the course of the albums that we've done. So it's interesting to hear them, you know.
I have to say that there's something that you're very similar to Jimmy on. I'm going to call it out on this record. So on Decomposing Composers, which, by the way, if anyone wants to hear Matt and Siobhan go off musically, like literally, like, I don't want to say a case of the notes, because I can't make fun of Vivaldi or Schubert. Because
or Beethoven.
Or whoever it was.
It was Beethoven the whole
they're
time.
They're all really good.
I was cursing his name for a while.
But Siobhan, especially with Paganini, I was saying to Corey last night, it's so funny that Siobhan is so relaxed and chill, because when you listen to the way that she, I don't know, did you call it bows during Paganini's Fifth Caprice? I'm like, you sound like an angry person. You and Jimmy both have this ferociousness. You're like, you have to get there. You have to get there. But it's meticulously
in
time.
Well, she may have been an angry person, because I think that was like 2 days before I had to deliver the masters. And she's like, I'm going to do this.
But the frenetic energy that you, for
there
which
was a lot
you
of panic
play
in the process.
But I'm saying it's like something you would have heard from Jason Becker off Shrapnel, the energy. And then you meet you're like, oh yeah, hey, how are you? Oh no, welcome to Miami. It's fine. Now this restaurant's really good. And like meanwhile,
the panic is all behind closed doors.
Javon, we're gonna have to teach you how to rip doors off hinges. I'm telling you, it's a great stress reliever. It's also very expensive, so I wouldn't 100% advise it. But
yeah, what are we talking about?
Breaking doors off hinges.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I got to work on my strength a little bit. I'm not sure I'm there yet.
We'll get you there.
All right.
Yeah.
But anyways, what I was trying to get to before we dove down this lovely Lost Symphony, whatever wormhole. I wanted to hear Matt's opinion on kind of
not Ben's opinion.
his approach to coming into a project like this, you know, obviously, and how it's developed over the years, and maybe the difference between your first session with Us Idiots versus your last session with Us Idiots, and how you know maybe how that has changed over time.
I think
how has it changed?
Oh, Ben, shut the fuck up.
Corey beat me to it.
He did it.
Yeah,
he did it, everybody. Look at that.
Thanks for listening enough, Matt, or you know that this is like a pivotal moment. It's like Bob Barker being like, I got one in, Rob.
I feel like you expect it at this point. You're just like pushing until one of us says it. So Corey beat me to the punch.
You know, I've been waiting for this. I'm like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen on this episode. But yeah, I mean, going from first tracking and is it you asking more so of like compositionally or just thinking?
I mean,
like,
just your experience, man. What was it like? You know, writing, what being in studio, doing all that.
Well, with Lost Symphony in particular, it was one of those things like where there were these weird modulations, but having to play at that speed and, you know, trying to be conscious of being tasteful and not just like musical masturbation because, you know, that's a thing. So just kind of thinking more so like, all right, so here's, you know, I have this little shred bit that I want to throw in. This is something I'm happy with, but I want to have something that ties that into the next section and, you know, it make it cohesive enough where it sounds like, oh, this was something he thought about, not just, all right, we press record and
well,
went for it.
But hold on, in your defense, when you first came down, you're like, cool, I think this works. And then I'd be like, yeah, do a harmony to it. You'd be like, wait, what do you want me to like? And then, but you like Rain Man would be like, okay. And then you go back and listen to it and fucking come up with the perfect harmony. But like the next time you came down, you're like, you already like anticipated the harmonies. You're like, and you were just fucking like watching you play was like, yeah. It was a pleasure to you because it's like literally like you, every time you're like, I'm going to get smarter. I'm going to get better. And you're like the fucking, like, you're like the artificial pushed. Intelligence. And you're like, how is your day, Corey? Is everything all right? Is it 73 degrees? Do you feel temperate?
Siobhan, do you want to take this?
Yeah, you just learn to anticipate the workflow. That's what I'll say.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to tell Ben to shut the fuck up.
Was going with that, but that's separate. I was going to say with all this too, and then seeing like just more and more monster players getting involved and trying to be like, all right, so the bar is pretty high. I should probably write something that, you know, I just don't. You don't want to be the low man on the totem pole with one of these type of albums.
Is that a challenge as far as like, you know, you want to obviously show your ability, but at the same time, you don't want to be the guy that's just, once again, like just fitting in as many notes as you can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you blow
and
your
you
load
become
with
forgettable.
Like, look at all these notes I just played. You're like, yeah, but why?
Right.
Right.
So how do you approach something like that?
Honestly, the direction from you guys was great because it was one of those things where I'm like, There's so many directions you can go with these pieces because a lot of times the sections I would get were pretty wide open. You know, it wasn't too much going on where you'd have to think of like, oh, is this going to create like too much chaos or does it need a flowing melodic line here rather than like, you know, let's, you know, pick it up and, you know, burn through this one passage. I think like one of the best examples of that was actually one that me and you did. Was it Conflagration? Where we were thinking, oh, we had these melodic lines from my first take of one of those that we used as like the transitional sections, we'll call it. And
yeah,
then,
that was a good example of something that, that we were, I think it was one of the first ones we did with you. And maybe a week before we had to deliver the record, I think I sent out like a mix and you're like, dude, no.
Like, I was like, you can't put that out. You can't put that out.
And like, you,
by the way, there's everybody, there's been so many people, so many guitar players that, that have even played on the record that they're like, who is that that did that crazy thing in that song? I'm like, Conrad. They're like, no, the other guy. I'm like, really?
The other guy.
Really?
Matt's the other guy.
No, but like, come on, man. Conrad Simon is a fucking weird. No. Like, he's like a fucking demon sent from outer space.
So that's actually,
that's
a great track. If you haven't checked out Lost Symphony, first of all, what the hell? Like, why are you watching us? That's the only reason we're here.
Right. How did you find us?
Please check out Lost Symphony. Check out Conflagration off of Chapter 2. It's one of my favorite tunes, and it's got
super, yeah,
some of the most
cool,
the opening 8 seconds with Conrad is some of the most intense music that's on any of the records. Yeah. But then Matt comes in with something that answers Conrad's insanity in an incredibly musical way, and that's kind of what we're talking about right now. You can continue.
Yeah, I was going to say it was one of those things where I actually did that first take through the one that I was like, we need to scrap this completely. That was that was actually me and Ollie together, believe it or not. Benny, I think, was he had to run to the gym at that time.
Of course, middle of a session, why not?
I mean, look at those, yeah, look at those guns. You have muscle shirt. The muscles come tomorrow,
he
or
had to.
No, I love you. But so he,
oh my God.
Corey was out that day, so it was me, Benny, and Ollie in the studio. I got out of, actually, I took the day off of work. And we ended up, the two of us kind of working through.
Wait, so was Ollie engineering you?
Yes, that actually happened.
Does no one remember? So I was left by myself with Pro Tools, which I've never used before, to engineer myself.
This doesn't surprise me.
Ben's got shit to do. Can't be engineering this entire thing.
He's like, all right, you seem like you've got this.
Hey, you flew across the country. You can do this too. Why not? I gotta go answer this email.
He had to go get shredded at the gym. So he's like, hey, press this button and then this button. And Ollie was like, I can do that. So we had a bunch of takes of me just being like, I don't know what's going on right now. And he's like, I think it's recording. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then he ended up pulling up a bunch of King Diamond solos. He's like, do something like this. And I was just like, I don't think that's what this needs, but okay. Yeah, he's like, you know who you remind me? He's like, every so often would just be like, that reminds me of George Lynch. And I was like, okay, like, cool. And it was just little moments like that. Like, that was, again, trying not to be a huge nerd in that whole time frame too. It'd be like, can I touch your beard? Like, don't be weird. Like, dial it back. He doesn't need to know that you're just like, look at this guy that I'm playing with right now. So yeah, I mean, we had a great time that session, but it was definitely a trash solo.
If I let you touch my beard, will you give me free hockey tickets?
So yeah,
he totally would have. He would have been like that. If you had asked Ollie, like, can I touch your beard? He'd be like, can I get free hockey tickets? Like, that would be like,
because
he
was my men's league game that
he was
no
pleasantly
one
weird
for.
Man, but he like he didn't mind making the ask if you were gonna make the ask, and I like that there were times where you're like, wow, he actually went for the ask on that.
I would have definitely had him down. It would have been hilarious to see him at a rink.
Oh, he would have too. He would have shown up in all
just
black,
Ollie watching,
all black.
Like a giant sitting in the bleachers, black pants, whatever. Like just like, hey man, like, where do I sit? Like talking like a mom and her child. Like as they're like all.
No,
scared.
I want
He's
him
like,
on the bench. I'd want him coaching. It'd be hilarious.
Oh, you want me to sit
just
over
Ollie
here?
Telling me, yeah, just do that. It'd be great.
Yeah. Well, no. The funny thing is though, is he would be like lost trying to find you, and he'd be like, wait, so where's Matt? You see this 6'4" dude with his hair like just going around like Gandalf. Hey, you'd be like, where is he? And just wave to him, and he's like, oh my God, as he's having a heart attack because Ollie was socially awkward.
So he's this like, all comes back best. Down to the Lost Symphony experience being Matt and I getting ditched by you. <It's>
Thank you for letting me use your BMW at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
And I feel bad. I had a full-time job at this time, so I couldn't even, like, you guys would be like, Siobhan's flying in for the week. We're going to record, like, 12 songs. And I'd be like, well, I work from like 9 to 6, and then I have an hour commute, and I'd get there. You guys would be exhausted from working all day, and I would like comp some stuff, and then I'd be like, well, I'm gonna go home because I gotta work in the morning. Siobhan would have like a breakdown in the back drinking.
Down, that was I was working
and
a regular
I'd be
job.
Like, Paul, hey, do you want to meet Siobhan? And he'd be like, are you guys coming to Taunton? I'd be like, no. Yeah.
So, my favorite moments were Brian coming over, though, and then there would always be some explosion.
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
Ben and Brian fights are
and
wonderful.
I don't even know what story to choose. What about
wisely.
How I tracked a song all day and then Brian lost the stems?
Oh, no.
He put it in the trash. He worked out of like the download file instead of actually taking it out of the download folder. And then when it got deleted, he was like, I did the whole song. And it's like, no, well, where is it? He's like, I don't know. And I tried calling him because Jeff Loomis was going to play on it. And he was like, well, I'm going, like, Jeff had like a very small period of time because he was working on like an album and totally indulging us by being on it. He's like, well, I got to go like through the woods of like Washington where he lives. Like, so I'm going to be like incommunicado. So can I get this other song? And I'm like, Brian, we need to do this song. And I called him at like 10 o'clock at night and he got so mad at me. He's like, me and my wife don't want to talk to you. I'm like, dude, you lost no eggs. He's like, no, I didn't. And then it's like, dude, like after it's like, and like later, like when the video came out, he's like, this song's awesome. I'm like, dude, you didn't even want this song to be made. Cause like I called him and he's like, I don't even know who Jeff Loomis is. I don't care. Fuck this song. I have a kid. I have a baby. I have a baby sleeping. Why would you ever do this to me, you selfish prick?
Listen, this entire project is run by us. And there's been plenty of those times where some people's solos didn't get sent through WeTransfer, didn't get downloaded, maybe didn't make it to the record until after it came out, and they're like, hey, where's my solo? You know, things like that happen. You know, sometimes, like, I'm not going to pass
almost panic moment for this upcoming album when I was like, where's the second half of my solo?
Oh, yeah. So let's give a shout out to 3 Years Gone. If Matt hadn't been here recording some pop music and I showed him like a mix and he's like, hey, half my solo's missing. And then I have to go, Ben, can you send me that other half of the solo?
But can we ask a question?
The only part of that solo that I actually really was proud of was gone.
Hold on a second. But do we also, I felt like I also had the Mandela effect. Like, again, I thought Shazam got made. There were parts of the songs I'm like, Corey, didn't I record the rhythm guitars for that song? You're like, no, I'm thinking of this. I'm like, no, dude, I remember I was wearing green shoes and it was a Friday. He's like, no, dude, you're just making that up. I'm like, no, I did the guitars. He's like, well, where are they? And I go back to my like place where it must have been. And I'm like, it was the Berenstain Bears?
Yes. Yeah, moral the Mandela story, effect. It's a freaking miracle that these records are even released, is the point.
Paul doesn't even remember making them. Every time I play him, he's like, I'm on this? Am I on this song? This is the one I'm on. There's no drums in this one. This is called Acceptance. He's like, oh, but there's like rhythms in it. Like, those are programmed. Corey did that.
It's like every time we do the interview videos and I have to ask Corey, I'm like, wait, what happened in this song? Do you remember anything about this experience? My brain has expelled it.
So this has been your peek behind the curtain episode of 2020.
I can name all the songs and all of the records
chaos
anymore.
Of the chaos.
Of the chaos behind Lost
Symphony. And Matt, thank you for being part of that chaos. I think you played a huge part in the overall level of chaos, in a good way. Chaos of notes, I should say. As we wrap up our second hour, definitely want to give a shout out to the new band, 3 Years Gone, at 3 Years Gone Music, if you're going to follow them. I don't know where, if that's Instagram or whatever it is, but you guys gave me a
Instagram,
card.
Instagram, Facebook, all of those.
It does things.
Social media things. Yeah.
Obviously, Lost Symphony, you're all over it. Some of the tastiest solos in the record. We won't even tell you which ones, but if you buy the record, you can look inside the booklet and find out
I'm
which ones.
I'm going to guess that right now he's going to be on Jackson, because I don't know if everyone in the world doesn't know, but speaking as the neurotic guitarist, you were one of the greatest ambassadors of the Jackson Charvel brand in the history of fucking mankind. Woo. You have so many guitars. You literally, like, there's been so many times, because I have 170 guitars. I've like handed you like a Les Paul or like a Fender. You're like, bro, I'm playing this Charvel. It's Japanese. It's all I fucking need. It's got a Floyd. Fuck off. And like literally, you're the most brand loyal. And if Jackson or Charvel are watching, like if there's any human being that first off has bought enough and deserves the, just in Campbell points, a fucking free like custom shop guitar, it's Matt. But Matt, as also a challenge to you from now, Jackson has said that on Mondays, Metal Mondays, that they will repost Lost Symphony, i.e. anyone who wants to play a Jackson guitar, maybe like you, since you seem to have a few Charvels and Jackson couple products in your house, you should encourage them by putting out this shred, which as by now, Chapter 3 will be rolling out. People can go and see. And you guys should comment on it. And you should let Jackson know, because there should be a Matt LaPierre Jackson.
Amen.
Matt, if there was a Matt LaPierre Jackson as the neurotic guitarist, I'm asking you this.
Sure thing.
What design it for me? Bring me through this porn in my head. Tell Charvel, tell Jackson. So first off, would it be a Jackson or a Charvel? Or a
Jackson?
Well, which one would it be? If we
I'd
had to choose.
I'd probably go Charvel, honestly, just because they're
are we talking
a little
American
more
or Japanese?
American.
Okay, so we're American Charvel. Are we in Ontario, Canada right now? So what's going on?
It's probably one of the Pro Mod series, but I'd spec it out with, you know, a beautiful... Oh, easy there, Chief. Probably spec it out with some just like natural wood grain. Prefer that on any
wait,
guitar. Just because.
Wait. What kind of wood?
I don't know yet. I haven't decided. You just put me on the spot.
Maple? Maple cap over mahogany? Are we talking
maybe a maple cap?
Crotch mahogany, fiddleback mahogany, ribbon mahogany.
It'll be great. Believe me. Probably
24 frets, 22 frets.
24, always 24 for me. I know Corey's a fan of the 22, but
are we talking a locking 24 system? Are we talking fixed bridge?
Fixed bridge. I'd probably go honestly fixed bridge at this point because I'm. As much as I love Avatar, I don't use them nearly as much as I used to, and tuning stability is kind of crucial for any musician. So
you grew up?
Sure.
Are we going medium jumbo frets? Are we going small frets? Or like we're doing
jumbo frets?
Jumbo frets.
Definitely roasted maple neck because that's
like Music Man style or like old Kramer.
Like these, they're super duper comfortable, and they're super duper thin, so they make playing easier. I have those, you know, cinder block hands, as we've mentioned. So anything to make that less difficult for me.
Well, what about a baritone scale?
No, thank you.
You could get like a bucket head, the 27-inch scale, and in the cowboy position, you literally have to have like a huntsman spider. like Richard Shaw could do it. He could play like a normal, like solo in normal
the
cowboy.
PRS guy, though. They already got the baritones. He deserves
yeah,
the same
but not the 27-inch scale, man. Like, that's crazy. I don't know. I mean, I that's insane. That guitar.
Maybe for
it's
my,
like Andre the John.
It was a
giant
7-string. I'd absolutely do that.
All right.
Maybe, yeah, maybe so make it a 7-string. I know
7-string
with that. Yeah, we've actually. When's the last time you heard a 7-string on a pop country song?
You're gonna.
Yeah, you will.
What would you do? Like, honestly, like, how would you approach if someone said to you, hey, man, here's four chords. I'm going to go and write this pop country song. We got Siobhan playing some fiddle. We need you to play Siobhan this. We need you to play the 7-string. What do you do?
Just find a riff that fits within those chords, man. And then something to complement the bass parts. Like, that's because Corey's been playing bass on most of this too. So he's got the 5-string.
You know what I found out this week is that a lot of bluegrass players play baritone tuned to A standard because you can do a lot of really, really cool, like lower piano chord style stuff. So that, like, actually, they're like, that's a thing. Like, I didn't know that was a thing. So like yeah you can get like
it's more
baritone
for layering than anything else.
Yeah.
It's not like it's
just like
the
well, just like you can get
those high
guitars that you know like for cowboy chords and stuff like that out for a lot of but the baritone acoustic guitars are really cool because it really brings out like a different it's so different to hear how things sound in different registers.
It's like
yeah,
the viola.
We definitely had some fun with that. Yeah, exactly. It's just another tool to have.
Or the double bass.
Yeah, but like I said, Corey's been really good with orchestrating that stuff too. Just being like, hey, yeah, simplify everything you just did. Make it fit within the mix.
Yeah, it just puts a high pass filter on it.
Some stuff.
Yeah. Sure. But yeah, I mean, if anything, just make another, I don't want to step on Angel's toes, but another seven string Charvel hardtail that's not, you know, the Nola.
But what would be different about it, Matt? Like, why would Charvel want to make this guitar over just more of Angel's guitar?
Meat and potatoes, less frills, very straightforward. Maybe some coil splitting, but
straightforward. What are you trying to say with that?
Not going there.
No,
not going.
We don't mean.
What a good place to end the episode.
Right. Side dots? Or can we do shark fins on a Charvel?
Yeah, sure. We'll do all that. But anyway, the other project I wanted to mention, I know Corey and I had touched on it too. My producer buddy, and actually he was with that gospel band, phenomenal bass player, AJ Seeley. We're working on it's very 80s.
Yes.
It's super 80s. Also has a seven string on it. It's pretty much like every video game soundtrack you can imagine with like, it's, if you think of like racing in general, it's that kind of vibe. I don't know if it's actually getting used for a video game or whatever the project is, but, he hit me up and was like, hey, I want you to play a lot of notes on this. And I said, okay.
Yeah.
So
it's a good try. What's the name it's being released under? Do you know?
I think it's under his whole brand. So it's AJ Seeley, but, I think the track's called Final Lap. We'll finish that up. I think so. It'll be this Friday. It'll probably be out by the time, you know, this episode airs.
So check the description of this episode. Anything we talked about, if it's out, there'll be links for it. Matt, thank you, man.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Glad to be here.
We had some good laughs about the last.
Thank you for staying a while.
Look at that. Look at that callback.
Ben's there it goes. Checked out.
2020-2020-D.com. Make sure you go there, like and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss it on future episodes.
LostSymphony.com.
That Listen is our sponsor.
Matt is amazing. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. It's such a pleasure working with you and having you to be able to actually say that you played with the people that you did, and like we talked about it like fictitiously, and then it became a thing, and that we actually manifested it, and that it was as good as we hoped, and that people they respected you because you are that good, and they gave us respect because of you. I tip my hat to you, sir. Thank you for helping us bring them into the spider's web.
Yeah, glad to be a part of it, honestly. This has been
both you and Siobhan gave us the credibility for us, a little guys, to con you into coming to my basement.
Again, people know who she is. I'm just the guy behind the curtain.
No, you're amazing. No, it's such a pleasure to be on the records with you and to get to know you, and you're such a great musician. It was great to get to know even more of you in these episodes. So
yes. So buy chapter 3 and then go buy chapter 2 and then buy chapter 1.
Then buy 100 proof because that should be out at the same time.
Yes. And yes, 3 years gone. Here's a logo that I was given.
So oh, cool. 3 years That's gone.
One of the logos.
And chapter 3, not the German way, the American way.
And with that, you've been 2020.
Thank you for listening to this episode of 2020. As always, visit 2020-D.com. Like and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on future episodes. This week's throwback clip is from episode number 30, featuring Steve Stevens, best known as the guitarist for Billy Idol. Check it out.
You know, we and being on stage with that guy, nothing is scripted. So you got to be on your toes because he's going to do something different every night in every
that's
song.
Great. That's great.
You know, like I just like spend my time because I know the guitar parts by now. And I'm just looking at him and going, he's out of his fucking mind. But how brilliant. That's exactly what I want Billy Idol to be. He's not this one thing. You know, he's not this, you know, I've seen bands that kind of go through the motions and they kind of play the hits and they seem like they're a little bored of that. And I can tell you, man, it's not the case with Billy. He's the real deal, man. He's still passionate about it.
Hi, I'm Daniela Clark. I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real, honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.